Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
On a hill opposite the cemetery, a large brick and tile building spreads itself, mimicking what it purports to be, a home away from home. Garden seats wait empty in the shade of flowering cherry trees. Alyssum plants and freesias border a smooth concrete path leading visitors to wide sweeping steps, guarded either side by lichen-covered cherubs. Eventide is more than a rest home, the glossy brochures boast. Your home away from home, they lie to the unsuspecting elderly of Waitapu. In the locked wing behind secure swipe card doors, a woman stuffs her handbag every morning with a piece of underwear, a petticoat or woolen singlet, a powder puff, a purse of coins, and toast crusts saved from breakfast. Her clothes are laid out on the bed. Underwear, a floral dress, a pair of 40 denier pantyhose. The day nurse helps her dress. Singlet first, then bra, looping straps over shiny white shoulders, pulling pantyhose over knotted varicose veins and pushing bunioned feet into patent leather court shoes. Her mind is failing, but Harry prides herself on not using a stick or a walker like most other residents have to, the permanents, who stay there all the time. Not like me, she tells the staff. I'm going home soon, do you know? My husband's coming to get me. She listens to the nurses warning new staff. Harry is a flight risk, and paces her tiny room, killing time. What precious little she might have left. But all Harry wants to do is go home and see her husband and feed the toast crust saved from breakfast to the birds. Has he come? She asks every hour. My husband, is he here yet? Your husband passed away, chicken, the blonde nurse tells her. You won't be going home today. Because this is where you live now, remember? Here, at eventide. And somewhere deep in her subconscious is the snapshot of a woman laughing at a camera. She wears a floral swimsuit, a bathing cap, a pair of Jackie O sunglasses, and everything about her, the shiny hair, the laughter and the beauty, are hauntingly familiar. On Sundays, a Red Cross volunteer drives Harry to the church and they sit side by side on hard wooden pews. Harry closes her eyes and bows her head, clutching her handbag with its toast crusts in her lap. She mouths words to hymns she doesn't know, and afterwards the minister shakes her hand and chats, making small talk she doesn't understand. The volunteer drives her back to eventide, and as they walk towards the cherubs, Harry looks ahead expectantly. Is this the day? Is this the day her husband comes to take her home? Later, when the morning staff have gone, the afternoon nurse discovers Harriet Yates is missing. The nursing manager, Nairi King, is called back in, and she organises a search of the rest home grounds. Check the gardens out the back, she tells the cook. She can't be far away. Can you drive round the block, she asks old Bill, the handyman, and don't forget to check the church. She was in her room, safe and sound, the morning nurse explains to Nairi over the phone. I left the secure wing doors open when Mr. Stevens had his fall, but only briefly, and I definitely closed them again straight afterwards. But the truth is, the morning nurse can't be sure and doesn't say a word about nipping into the loo to text her boyfriend before checking the secure wing door was locked. The nurse starts to cry, remembering the text her boyfriend sent. It's over. And she hasn't been able to concentrate on anything else since. Nairi looks up Harry's details on the computer, and there is a daughter, Olivia, but she lives overseas. The social worker, Rowena, is Mr. Stevens' daughter and the only local contact Harry has. Nairi phones her. Just to let you know, Harriet Yates is missing, she says. Oh, I'll be there as soon as I can get away, Rowena tells her. Harriet Yates is going home, and with a sense of urgency too. Her husband will be waiting, and her daughter Olivia will be home from school soon. She clutches her patent leather handbag and hears a ringing in her ears as she walks. She wonders what it is at first, but soon recognises a sound of her own exhilaration. She walks faster then, her floral dress billowing up around her legs in the wind. All available staff have joined the search, checking wardrobes and hallway linen cupboards and hardly used storerooms. Nairi isn't popular with Eventide's directors. Her push for improved conditions for residents and better pay for staff has upset the status quo, and now there'll be an inquiry into Mrs. Yates' disappearance. She phones the hospital and asks to speak to the charge nurse. She may turn up there, Nairi says. Can you let me know as soon as possible if she does? I'll phone the off-duty staff, the charge nurse says. They'll be only too happy to help. When the gardener and the cook return empty-handed, Nairi phones the police. Oh, we'll start a door-to-door of neighbouring streets, the police sergeant says. If we're lucky, she'll be sitting in someone's kitchen having a cup of tea. But later, Nairi hears Harry's description over the radio and feels a sense of dread. Concern is growing for an elderly woman last seen wearing a red and blue floral cotton dress, black court shoes, and carrying a patent leather handbag. Harriet Yates has been missing from Eventide Rest Home in Waitapu since mid-afternoon. She may be in a confused state. Please phone Police Communications on 0800 201 201 if you see her. Harry's feet ache, and the ringing in her ears increases. A few passing motorists wave, but she turns away, willing them not to stop and ask her questions. A woman in her front garden tries to start a conversation, but Harry ignores her and keeps walking towards her old house on the hill. The woman phones Eventide to ask if any residents might be missing, but not until she's removed her gardening gloves and wheeled her weeds and clippings around the back. And by then, Harriet Yates has disappeared. Harry concentrates on heading home, where she knows her husband will be waiting with tinned salmon on toast, perhaps, crusts cut off, or poached eggs, her favourite. She hopes he's remembered to save the toast crusts for the birds. But if he hasn't, she's brought her own supply, tucked safely away in her purse. When she reaches the intersection on the outskirts of town, she can't remember which way to go and stands there for a while, shielding her eyes from the setting sun. She decides to walk south, away from her house and the town, and towards Waitapu's river. She looks around in the greying light for a place to rest, her court shoes sinking into the uneven, stony surface. Several times she trips on washed-up branches, large rocks and hollows on the river's shore. Eventually, Harry finds a place to lie down, close to the water's edge. Her ankle hurts and her stomach grumbles. She opens her purse, feels around inside for a toast crust, and nibbles on its end before falling fast asleep, the river water lapping at her feet. The police set up a control post at the community hall. Evening classes are abandoned, but some of the students stay behind to help. Police officers walk the streets, knocking on doors, advising residents to check their backyards and garden sheds. Others help in the kitchen, making cups of tea and coffee for the searchers and serving paper plates of sandwiches and muffins donated by the garden cafe in town. Volunteers walk the riverbanks, calling Harry's name into the dusk. The search and rescue squad arrive with a tracker dog, and it quickly picks up her scent outside the hall, but then just as quickly loses it. The dog runs in dizzying circles, head down, its nose pressed to the ground. A light drizzle chills the air, and the looming night conceals the river's outline. Members of the fire brigade arrive, and St. John's staff wait on standby at the station. The police controller briefs his team, tells them Harriet has missed her evening medication, and as far as he knows, hasn't eaten anything since lunch. If Mrs. Yates isn't found by morning, he tells them, I'm calling the chopper in. Later that night, the students and volunteers go home, but Rowena and Nairi stay behind and walk the bike tracks by the river with their torches, calling Harry's name into the dark. In the early hours of the morning, they head back towards the hall. Harry's the same age my mum would have been if she was still alive, Rowena says. The sun is rising when Rowena finally leaves, but she walks back towards the river for one last look. The piers of the road bridge to the north have been covered in fresh graffiti. Empty cans of paint lie discarded in the grass. Above her, early morning cars clack their way across the bridge joints. She walks further north along the stop bank to the sound of traffic fading. Up ahead, a fine layer of mist has settled on the river's surface. But there is no sign of Harry. A group of teenagers eventually find her late that afternoon, sound asleep, sheltered from the weather in a scooped-out hollow by the river. Amazing she didn't drown, the girl says. Look how close she is to the water. One of the boys takes his hoodie off and wraps it round Harry's shoulders. Another removes the sweatshirt from round his waist and tucks it over her knees. The girl takes her beanie off and pulls it low over Harry's ears, tucking strands of damp grey hair up underneath. Someone else phones the police from a mobile. We found an old lady, he says. Harry remembers lying by the river dreaming, and in the dream she was dragged beneath the river's swirling waters. The world below the surface slowed right down, and her movements were as graceful as a weightless dancer's. At one stage she felt herself lifted upwards into luminescent light, into arms that held her like a mother would a baby, and afterwards she was placed back down into the warm cocoon of stones on the river bank. I used to live up there once, Harry tells the young people, pointing in the direction of her old home, but not any more. I live at Eventide now. It's like a hostel for the old. Oh, don't go getting old, she tells them. There's no fun to being old. Rangiatea
is the sacred home, the heartland of the human spirit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.